From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar.
Today we have our weekly conversation with Margaret Kimberly, who has a column at blackagendareport.com entitled Freedom Rider. Today we discuss her column this week, The Corporate Media Enemy.
Donald Trump had a press conference a week ago, very combative. I thought it was interesting that I had heard such terrible things about it, that he was losing his mind. And I watched it myself. I sat through an hour and 15 minutes of a press conference. I can't remember when I last did that, just to see for myself. And I think it was combative. I think that's fair to say. I think he is better on his feet than other Republican presidents, frankly, than Reagan or George W. Bush. But be that as it may, he is in this constant battle with the press. He's got a problem taking criticism. And, for example, he'll always talk about, if he mentions the New York Times, he says the New York Times, which is failing. And then he tweeted that the press, and he mentioned the New York Times, CNN, MSNBC, et cetera. He said, they are not my enemy. They're the enemy of the people. And there were howls of protest, and how dare he criticize the media, and the we need a good press, and he proves he's a fascist, and so on and so on. But there is truth to what he says, and it's there's so many contradictions now, aren't there, that someone on the left, like myself, can agree with that statement, not for the reasons he's makes the statement, not because I have his politics or his motives, but the corporate media are our enemy. They do the business of the ruling class. They were in the tank for Hillary Clinton. They do not give us information that we need in order to make to have information about our system and about the world. Particularly in foreign policy, they go along with presidents. It doesn't matter what they do, how horrible their plans are. They justify and help them to justify and defend their actions. So, it is true. We do need a good press. We need an independent media that we used to have. But as it shrinks, it gets smaller and smaller. All of the news channels are owned by international conglomerates. NBC Universal and so on. The Washington Post, which I mentioned, the Washington Post is owned by Jeff Bezos, the man who owns Amazon. He's the sole owner of the Washington Post. He is one of the richest people on the planet, one of the eight group of billionaires whose net worth equals that of the half of everybody else on the planet Earth. And so that's the situation we're in with the media. And if the fact that they criticize Trump does not make them friends of ours. They are not doing it for noble motives. And we can't fall into the trap of defending these organizations who do not work for our benefit or our interests.
Yeah, that's the interesting part of it here. Because, you know, I saw that press conference, too, and... I have to say, I was, you know, there was like, I had like a grudging smirk on my face as, you know, he was critiquing these people. You know, last time the CNN guy telling him, no, look, you guys are fake news, sit down, I'm not going to talk to you. This time letting them talk as long as they like and hanging them and, you know, with their own words, sparring with them and watching it like, you know, I'm really enjoying this a lot. And then the screech, essentially, that somehow this is fascism and that these people represent journalism. To me, that's the first fallacy in the entire critique. These are some corporate shills that, you know, work for some mega corporations that are in bed with the military contractors and with Wall Street. These are, in fact, If they're not the enemy of the people, they're the instrumentality of the enemy of the people and have been for decades now. And it's been growing worse as the concentration of ownership has been growing. And that's been the bipartisan product a bipartisan project. Ronald Reagan doing away with the Fairness Doctrine, Bill Clinton with the 96 Telecommunications Act, the Love Fest with the media with Obama, and also the unanimity that we saw of the media and the military and the political government for both of the Iraq wars and everything in between. And so for suddenly people to be saying, how dare he pick on our media, to me, it strains my ability to even observe it, let alone to swallow it.
Yeah. And one thing I forgot to mention about Jeff Bezos, as you discussed, Amazon has this huge contract with the CIA, $750 million contract.
Right.
And the Washington Post, we can assume, is behind this propornot.com website, which it mysteriously appeared a few months ago, a website which purports to expose media outlets who they believe are too friendly to Russia, and who promote Russian propaganda, so to speak. Black Agenda Report was on that list. And this proper not was promoted by the Washington Post. So one can only assume, Glenn Ford did a good job of dissecting this, we can only assume it is a Washington Post project. And for this newspaper, which is owned by someone who has a multi-million-dollar contract with the CIA, and they just started this new slogan this week, the Washington Post, "Democracy Dies in the Darkness," which has to be the worst newspaper slogan of all time, and ironic given who owns them now. So this is the media that people have rushed to defend. And it seems that people can't figure out how to critique Trump when he warrants the critique without embracing individuals and interests who don't work on our behalf. So it's not a big thing he's not the first president. Well, it's been a long time since we had a president who openly fought with the media, since Nixon is, I believe, because most of the time they curry favor with the press, and the press curry favor with them, and it's mutual. And that's not good for us. They're not very independent when presidents make friends with them. The New York Times helped Bush make the case for invading Iraq, for example. They said nothing about Obama's wars, where he didn't send U.S. troops, but by proxy destroyed Libya and Syria and interfered with Ukraine. They defended all of that. People talk about how Obama didn't have any scandals while in office. Well, that's proof of collusion with the press. You have a scandal if the media wants you to have a scandal. And if they don't reveal anything, you can't have a scandal. So I think it's important for people to keep that in mind. I am not going to defend the corporate media because Donald Trump is fighting with them. I think we can chew gum and walk at the same time, and I think in this it requires some extra effort in this age when contradiction is the explanation for just about everything we're facing. But I think it's very important not to fall into that trap.
Yeah. You know, I'm looking at, what is it, propornot.org? Is that the website?
.com, propornot.com.
Propornot.com is gone. And propornot.org has a posting that was put up, the last posting was December 8th.
Really? I found it yesterday.
Yeah, I'm looking at propornot.org, your friendly guide to better propaganda. We are an independent team of concerned American citizens with a wide range of backgrounds, blah, 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 blah. And they talk about essentially, Proper Not refused to disclose. This is like a critique of Proper Not.
ProperNot.com is still here.
ProperNot.com. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not getting it. I'm getting unable to... Let's check the proxy.
I'm looking at it right now.
Running Windows Network. Let me try, reload. Let's see what happens. Huh, let's try Googling it. Because I'm having a problem finding a proper not. Oh, because www. You have to type in www or else you don't get it. So, okay, here. The last posting is November 30th on the front page. You know, that's when it was released in the Washington Post, this whole thing. And, and what they're talking about is essentially fake news and Russia. Those are the two things that they're looking at. And this is exactly the line that's been peddled by both the Clinton administration, going back to the releases before the DNC, and, of course, the military-industrial complex and the intelligence establishment, which have been, you know, lining up troops along Russia's borders and arraying the media against Russia around the world, pretty much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They have, you know, it's. I'm going to write about this next week, but this whole anti-Russia hysteria that we're seeing, this started with Marco Rubio and his opposition research against Trump during the battle for the Republican nomination last year.
Right.
Hillary Clinton picked up on it. She ran with it unsuccessfully. It was a failed campaign strategy, and I think by now everyone should have learned that trying to make Putin a villain doesn't help anybody. They tried that with Brexit. Hillary Clinton tried that and lost. But it has been used by the Democratic Party to do a couple of things. First of all, they are the war party along with the Republicans, so they get to push their anti-Russia imperialist agenda, and it gets to and it helps them to distract the Democratic rank and file, who should be coming at them with pitchforks because of their continued losses in Congress, in state houses, and finally the presidency, the only thing they had. And it keeps people at bay to say that, you know, well, it's all Vladimir Putin. We haven't messed up. Trump won dishonestly because he had help from Russia. And Democrats, being very passive, unfortunately, have fallen for this, and it's sadly been successful. And if you just repeat something often enough, it can become like a fact. So, and that's something else that the media are doing to us, and repeating this flimsy story. You know, when you think about it, we know that someone gave DNC emails to WikiLeaks. We know somebody did that. There isn't any proof that Russia did that. And they'll say things like they're Russian digital fingerprints, which means what? What does that mean, Russia digital fingerprints?
I don't know.
I mean, it's just meaningless. That some a hacker perhaps from Russia, which does not mean the Russian government. So it's all, there's nothing to it. There really is. It's the wispiest, flimsiest evidence. And this is something that the media does. They're in cahoots with the ruling classes, in this case with the Democrats in the ruling class, against Trump, who won't suck up to them. But I've often thought about the fact that if Trump did decide to curry favor with the press, they would turn on a dime, and they would suddenly tell us he was brilliant. And they would, you know, you would see something like Trump reconsidered, or, you know, Trump's subtle genius, or something along those lines. He would suddenly become their darling if he went along with their program.
And there's quite an interesting list, by the way. They've revised the list on the front page some. I don't see blackagendareport.com there anymore. That maybe it's deeper in the website. They have up front, though, it ranges from Alex Jones to Paul Craig Roberts and globalresearch.ca. These are all supposedly of a kind that are basically pushing Russian propaganda on an unwary American public. And some of them I like. I really like this one, hangthebankers.com.
Great name. Excuse me.
And the anti-media and others. But, you know, Paul Craig Roberts, they call him left-wing, for example. He came out of the Reagan administration.
He did. He did. But he's become quite a critic against the system overall. I don't know if he calls himself a leftist, but he expresses many points of view that I can embrace and agree with. But basically, it's independence. Anyone who is independent and who writes about criticizes U.S. foreign policy vis-a-vis Russia is in danger of being called a dupe, a patsy, a useful idiot of Russia. And it's very, very dangerous. And the Democrats will not let this go because it helps them to keep people from coming at them, which is what Democrats ought to have done the night of November 8th, beginning election night. So this is the media, which has had more independence in my lifetime, but because of the things you talk about, the fact that they got rid of the fairness doctrine and they got rid of rules that kept consolidation from happening in particular places. You couldn't own a TV station and a newspaper in the same city. All of that's gone. And we have a handful of people in the world who are running the biggest media corporations. And those of us who have independent voices exist primarily because of the internet. So that's where we are with the press. And there's no one for us to rush and defend because of Trump's criticisms.
Yeah. You've got, as you mentioned in the article, you know, a bunch of problems with the media. You've got when Obama was president, as one example, they repeat whatever lies he said about foreign leaders who were in Obama's crosshairs. Okay. The same with George W. Bush, the same with Bill Clinton, the same with George H.W. Bush, and the same with Ronald Reagan. You know, how far back do you want to go? you know, you got for Grenada. Grenada was, according to the media, wall to wall, you know, the greatest threat to the national security of the United States that you might encounter on the, you know, fourth fairway. And
this tiny, tiny Caribbean island, and Cuba helped them build an airport.
Yeah.
It turned into an airstrip.
Yeah, right. This island will be an airstrip for the Soviet Air Force. That was the propaganda.
Yeah, it was. And now nobody talks, 30 years later, nobody talks about Grenada at all. You know, it was a strategic national interest, and now it's disappeared.
Yep.
But yes, that's the kind of thing they do, and Obama perfected this. He had these private briefings. And, you know, and these reporters are, they're ambitious. They want to get ahead. They know that the way to get ahead is to be friends with the White House. So Obama would have these private briefings, and then people would print or broadcast, the president thinks this, and the president thinks that, word for word, like scribes. And they thought they'd be doing this for Hillary Clinton. And I think the shock of her loss to Trump has, they have not recovered from it, and they were all in the tank for her. They were very uncritical of her campaign, and they are to blame for the shock, frankly, of Trump winning because they didn't see it because they didn't want to see it. And I think just a little bit of journalistic independence would have prepared people for Trump's victory rather than just parroting the same thing over and over again that this or that pollster says that she has an, you know, 80% chance of winning. And to look at the map and to see Trump's electoral college victory to win state after state after state was something they did not see coming. And I think it was a failure on their part not to have been aware of what was happening around the country and not to question these so-called experts about the fact that this trend was taking place. But it just shows you how close they were to the Democratic Party and to Hillary Clinton that they did a terrible job of reporting.
You know, I was watching on Showtime, I think it was, they have this, the greatest circus on earth or whatever, looking at the campaign, the presidential campaign, and this particular one showing the closing months and up to and including the actual night when the when they found out Trump won. And it runs, you know, a series of back behind the scenes, like video, green room video, you know, people on planes and stuff, all of these, you know, talking heads, excuse me, all offering their opinion, and all the way through, every single one of them, with the exception of Roger Stone, who, you know, listens to him, and one or two others that were directly associated with Trump or the campaign, all saying exactly the same thing, saying how much Hillary Clinton had it in the bag, and it was going to be all the way through and all the way, and all of a sudden you see their jaws drop that night. It was actually something, I watched it, it was kind of something to marvel at watching it, because every single one of these people that's been telling us everything that we're supposed to think for 20, 30 years and have turned out to be wrong, weapons of mass destruction, whatever, you know, watching their whole narrative collapse into their lap. I enjoyed it myself.
Well, yeah, and that's part of the reason that they just can't accept the fact that Trump has won. And some of them are very upfront about getting rid of Trump or impeaching him or something like that. And while I'm not a Trump supporter, I am very much concerned about this embrace of the intelligence state, the intelligence communities using them to get rid of a president. A precedent is terrible. And but people in the press have seized upon it quite openly. And as I've said, it's not because they are promoting a more progressive agenda. Far from it. He's just not their guy. I think that's what it comes down to. He's not their guy. He's not the person they wanted, and they want him out. And they won't even talk about what the Democrats did to bring him into office. So they're not even honest about their journalistic credentials. They should at least want to inform the public about how he came to be president instead of going on and on about Vladimir Putin. So, and it's easy, too, because he and his team, I don't think, were ready for this to be in the White House. I don't think he has a lot of experienced people with him and other people who are friendly with the press. So these leaks of phone calls that he and Flynn, who was very briefly the national security advisor, these leaks of their phone calls, it's worrying to me. And the fact that they will actually lie and say, because Flynn had some contact with the Russian officials, but that's okay. Other people have done it. It's not the first time, and you know, people talk about the Logan Act and private citizens can't have contact with foreign governments, and that's not true. Every transition, Obama, the man he eventually appointed as ambassador to Russia in 2008, had constant conversations with Russian officials. So you have to find out these things on your own, because if you depend on the press to tell you, you'll believe just about anything.
Because they'll say just about anything. It's pretty ridiculous. Yeah, so yeah, you mentioned in the close of the article that no one should be fooled by Trump's bloviating. No one should deny that 1 + 1 = 2 just because Trump said it either. And the phony outrage from the guilty parties is definitely not something to buy. That the media are in bed with the rulers, that makes them enemies of the first order.
Yes, absolutely. They are. I think people have to learn to ignore. And you can't ignore the president of the United States, but as much as possible, not allow Trump and feelings about Trump, legitimate concern, legitimate reasons to oppose his to his policies blind us completely to how this country is really run, and not to be like Pavlov's dog, and embrace a person or an institution because he condemns them. That's not a reason to do it. So we have to really be discerning. And I'm just thinking about there was a lot made about comments he made about Sweden a few days ago.
Right.
We were told that he said there was a terror attack in Sweden. He didn't say that.
That's right. He didn't.
He said something about Sweden is having a lot of problems with immigrants. They're having a lot of problems. That's what he said. He didn't say anything about a terror attack in Sweden. But we're told over and over again that he said there was a terror attack in Sweden when he did not say that. Now, I am troubled by his attacks on Muslim immigrants, and they're going to bring back in some way or fashion the travel ban on citizens from the seven nations, mostly Muslim nations. But he did not say that, and to be told over and over again that that's what he said is very, very disturbing to me. But it just goes to show you that they create their own reality. They create their own fake news, and they're not a group that we can trust or depend on.
And finally, as a part of that fake news, we have to remember things you mentioned that they don't report on mass incarceration regularly unless there are actually people in the streets, for days occupying cities or whatever, which we've seen. They don't tell people, maybe in passing once in a while, that half of the people in the country are living on $31,000 a year or less. They don't cover the victims of American regime change. None of that makes it.
It's all a rosy scenario. Nothing about America's human rights abuses. They haven't said anything about police murder for months now. And police are still shooting people, killing people in this country. But it's been disappeared off the front pages. Our mass incarceration system, which is one of the worst human rights abuses in the world, escapes their attention for the most part. So there's so many things that they ignore. And so many things that they promote and support because powerful people promote and support. So we cannot embrace the corporate media. We have to take what they say at the very least a grain of salt and be very aware of what they say. You know, Malcolm X, the anniversary of his assassination was a few days ago, and one of his most famous quotes was, if you're not careful, the newspapers will have you hating the people who are being oppressed and loving the people who are doing the oppressing. And that was true 50 years ago, and it's true. It's true now. And it is no less true because Donald Trump is having a food fight with the New York Times.
You know, we're talking CBS, Fox, ABC, NBC, MSNBC, CNN, the New York Times, Washington Post, pretty much speaking with one voice across the board. And by the way, a lot of so-called alternative media as well.
Yeah, well, that's the way to be welcome to the club is to parrot what the big boys have to say. So yes, we have a spectacle of, for example, when the Proper Not list came out, there were some websites who protested. No, no, we don't belong on your list because we've criticized Russia.
Right.
We would not do that at Black Agenda Report, but there were others who did, even some alternative sites.
Margaret Kimberly has a weekly column at blackagendareport.com entitled Freedom Rider. This week's column, The Corporate Media Enemy. Margaret, thank you very much. Pleasure as always.
Thank you, Don.
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.